the way a Jew looks at life and thinks of life after Purim should be a different mitzvah than from before Purim. So we had a chance to talk a little bit before Purim. So now let's talk a little bit post-Purim. One of the things that I found, among many things in Torah, that struck me as being odd when I was growing up, is the amount of time, energy, and psukim, words and psukim that are invested in Melachas HaMishkan, that are in the story of the Mishkan, the building of the Mishkan, which we don't bechlal have a shaychus to any of this. The Torah is a Torah of Nitzchi, is forever and for every Jew, every minute of our lives, right? So when we were younger, we weren't taught the Svarma Kedoshim. So sometimes there was a Rebbe or a Rabbi that would talk about the symbolism of the Kiyor, or the symbolism of the Mizbeach, you know. So we thought that just like Torah really likes symbols, you know, a lot of symbols. Then when you start to learn Pnimius, the side of the Baal Shem HaKadosh and the Tzaddikim is that every single word of the Torah is speaking to us every minute of our lives. We have to understand on a deeper level what it is. When we're dealing with the Mishkan, we're talking about Be'erach 400 Psukim. 400 Psukim. That's a lot of coverage, you know. Shabbos, Pesach, Ma'aseh Bereishis, 400 psukim. Every single word, every single pasuk, every word, every letter, every crown is filled with avaida. With every minute of our lives. And that's how we should learn these parashis, pnimius, to understand, of course, to understand the pshat and to go beyond that. But in this sugya, but often klali, it's hard, with all of that, it's hard to understand why is it that we have Truma Tetzaveh, and then, okay, that's where we have all the ingredients of the Mishkan, we get it. And then comes, then there's this exciting, you know, Kisisa, like the whole Chet Egel, the whole Maisa. And then Vayakal Pekudei. Then you have Vayakal Pekudei. Vayakal Pekudei is like parashiyos that if you ask somebody, like, so, well, you feel, how do you feel about Vayakal Pekudei? It's hard to get a strong answer, you know. If you ask somebody, what do you think about parashiyos Vayigash? Whoa. What about parashiyos Noah? When it comes to Vayakal Pekudei, if you look at the pages, there's very, very, very little Rashi. And the reason for that is because everything was already in Truma Tetzaveh. And what you have in Vayakal Pekudei is a repetition of what was in Truma Tetzaveh. The chiluk is that Truma Tetzaveh was the design, the plan, sketch, the theory, that's Truma Tetzaveh. And Vayakal Pekudei was Lamaisa, was the actual construction. The pile was Lamaisa. And all of the Kadmainim are talking about what's the need for the repetition and so on. See, here the Lubavitcher Rebbe Schussan wrote down something very, very beautiful. Everything he said was not only beautiful, but it's who he was himself. So you see that by the big tzaddik. It's not some Torah, it's the Rebbe himself. But it needs to be explained. What the Rebbe said is a very deep thing. But the Yisod HaDvarim is very beautiful and very simple. The Rebbe brings the Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi says that there's what's called a Mishkan Shalmaila, a Mishkan Shalmaila, and there's a Mishkan Shalmata. Just like all of you have heard that there's a Yushalayim Shalmala, right? There's Yushalayim in a Ruchni's Dik estate in Shemaim, there's a Yushalayim, and the Yushalayim here in this world is the Lamais of the Yushalayim in Shemaim, which is spiritual. You all heard there's a Mikdash, there's a Mikdash Lamala, there's a Mikdash Lamata. You and I also have a Lamala Lamata, the Neshama. We exist here in the Neshama is in the Guf. This is the Moshe Lamata, and there's a Moshe Lamala, remind the Neshama, the Sharish of who I am, and all of us. Our job in life is to try to, as much as we can, coordinate those two. To try to align them, to work them out. The things below should be connected to and reflecting what's above. His galus, a revelation of what's above. So the Yerushalmi makes this chiluk. Parashiyos Truman Tetzave 2 weeks ago, those parashiyos, Truman Tetzave, is the Mishkan Shalmala in Shemayim. And the parashiyos this Shabbos of Vayakel Pekudei is the Mishkan Shalmata, is the Mishkan over here in this world. What does that mean? An Ar Madrega, what does that mean? A Mishkan Lamala, a Migdash, a Mishkan Lamata. Yushalayim Shalmala, Yushalayim Shalmata. What does all of that mean? That part that's in Shemayim, that part that's in Shemayim means the concept. The Rebbe explains. It means the concept. It means the ideal. It means perfection. Perfection. It means the plan. The Mishkan Lamata. The Mishkan Lamata means the Metzius, what actually came to be. The Metzius, reality. There's the ideal, and there's what's real. What's ideal, and what's real. Mishkan Lamala, Migdash Lamala, Yushalayim Shamala, and so on, ideal. Mishkan Lamata means in the Olam Asiya, in this world, what is actually the Metzius. Why do we have these two? Because you all know that in reality, in life, there's always a gap between the ideal, between the dream, between what you hope is going to be, how you envision it being, and the Lamaisa, and how it actually turns out. The Rebbe says that the Torah has two sections, separate parashiyos. Truma Tetzaveh is the ideal, is the ultimate. It's a picture of perfection, but it's lamala. It's theory. It's a concept. It's an artist's rendition. If you look in the Jewish newspapers and magazines, there's tons of advertisements for apartments in Yerushalayim. You know what I'm talking about, right? Every second page is apartments in Yerushalayim or outside Yerushalayim, you know, all these different places. And they have the, like a picture of the dearest, right? And they have little people walking on the street and so on. And when you happen to be in Eretz Yisrael, you have a schus to be in Eretz Yisrael, and you drive past that place, well, you see a couple of cinder blocks, and like an old Arab sitting on one of them. And a lot of rich people back here in America that have already put in like $500,000 into a dream. Sometimes after a lot of years and lawyers and aggravation, it actually works out into a dira. But I know a lot of people that are spent a lot of money and still waiting for the apartments to come about. Because each one of them promises, the builders promise, that we're not like the other ones. And ours is really going to be. So when you look at that picture, like with the family sitting on the Mirpeset, and a beautiful, beautiful, that's with a computer, you know. Or they made one, like 20 years before. They made one, Dira. And they keep on showing that to you. They show that to everybody. And that's what they advertise, but there's nothing really there. Still in litigation and fights and trying to buy the property. Okay, I'm exaggerating, but only a little bit, you know. It's just a little bit. But there's an artist's rendition. And the artist's rendition is beautiful. To every little detail, in those little pictures you'll see with the trees, right? And you see, like, parents, you see a mother with a stroller, and then when you look close, you see it's not real. You see, it's an artist's rendition. There are people who know how to do it on the computer to make pictures like that. You could do anything with a computer now, make pictures. It's not a chachm. I mean, it's a little bit of a chachm, but anybody could do it. It's not a hard thing. But as far as the Metzius is concerned, the Metzius is often very, very, very different than the artist's rendition. So the Marshal. Guy and a girl are going out, they fall in love, they become Chasson Kala. Chasson has his vision of what it's going to be like being married to this girl. And the Kala has her picture, and they stand under the chuppah looking at each other. They can barely hear the brachas that are being said, they're so much in love. So the chuppah and the visions that they have under the chuppah and the dreams, that's Truma Tetzava, you understand? It's very, very sweet. They have so many dreams. You talk, especially with the girls, you talk to the girl, she'll tell you exactly what her Shabbos table is going to look like, down to the color of the tablecloth, what type of silverware. The guy doesn't think of that. But the girl has the type of silverware she's going to have, the vase with the flowers she sees already, under the chuppah. Could be by the third date she's already thinking about tablecloths. Do you understand? Mamish. Down to every detail. She already sees what her kids are going to look like. She's going to have the cutest kids. What they're going to look like. What stroller she's going to have. How she's going to be walking around with her stroller like an Arze Abira hanging out with the other married girls. She's got all of that under the hood. It's an artist's rendition, you understand? In the brain. Pictures. All kinds of pictures. Well, she might be a year later in Arze Abira, and she might be with a stroll in the park, but her kids kept her up for the last 2 weeks every night. She wants to strangle the baby. The husband turned out not to be the same guy that she was dreaming about under the chuppah, you know? He's annoying. He makes a lot of demands, all different types of demands, that she wasn't prepared for. He's a good guy. There's some resemblance to the artist's rendition, but the picture's not the same. It's a different picture. If you'd ask her, is this what you were dreaming about under the chuppah? Well, this is the guy you thought you were going to be marrying when you were dating. That's just a short time later. It's a couple of years, mamish, if you go 10 years later. So he thought he's marrying, you know, the winner of the Miss America contest, and whatever, and she's marrying this, you know, guy. He's already put on like 80 pounds and you can't see his belt buckle for the last 10 years. Like hanging down so far. He goes to the mikveh, doesn't know if he's wearing slippers or not, you understand? She's already had a couple of babies and years haven't been kind to her, you know? So that's called Parshas Vayakel Pekuda, you understand? There's Truma Tetzava. And there's Vayaka Pekuda. The Rebbe didn't say it in such a way. I'm saying it. The Rebbe is very holy. He said it like in a holy way. But I'm saying it to you like a regular way. Between us, there's a big difference between the tochnit, the plan, Truma Tetzava,
And then Lamaise. And now let's go away from Chosin Kalka, because that's really brutal. It's really, let's just talk about the Chosin. The guy. So what kind of money he's going to make? You know, like I went to Cy Sims. You know, I'm going to be a rich guy. I majored in like marketing or something. I don't even know what that is. I asked one of the guys last week. He can explain to me a little bit. But I majored in marketing, so you know, I'm going to be like a rich guy. I'm going to have a firm. I'm going to be hired by this and that. I'm going to be Bill Gates' personal marketing guy, and who knows what? That's his, you know, Truma Tetzaveh. And Ve'akel Pekuda, like a guy was just telling me last week. I had a conversation. He's selling pants in Borough Park. He has a fancy degree. But Lamais, it didn't work out. It hasn't worked out yet. He works in a clothing store in Baruch. Trying to fit the chassid with a big stomach, you understand? That's what he's doing. And how about when it gets to something that's even more painful? Guys in yeshiva, and it's a cell. He's holding strong. Over there, you didn't know how to say shtak. He's holding very stark in Truma Tetzaveh. It's going to be a big Talmud Chacham, a big tzaddik. He's got all of his dreams, he's got all of his Truma Tetzaveh, everything is nice. Say that. And then he comes back and then it gets into the Lamaisa, it's called Vayakal Pekuda. And Lamaisa, when you're in the Vayakal Pekuda, it's not as simple as the artist's rendition when it was an idea, a concept. Even though you were doing this stuff in your slime, you were learning and so on, but still, it's true at the time. When you get to the Lamaisa, that's called the Mishkan Shalmata. The Mishkan Shalmata, a lot of the dreams that you had, a lot of the expectations and hopes, a lot of the sketches and the diagrams that you drew up for your life, the Poyo Lamaisa don't come out in Vayaka Pekuda. It doesn't come out that way. Each one of you has certain chalomis and demyonis, and I'm sure they're good and they're holy and they're right, and Hashem should help you to align them as much as possible with the pile. But the metzias in life is that it's not so pashut. And when you get into the daily grind of Mishkan Shalmata, there are all kinds of things that get in the way. Kinds of insecurities and fears and all kinds of complications. I had last week in Indian with a married couple. Now they found out, it came out now that this girl was terribly abused by her father in the most horrible, hard to believe ways she was abused. She never told this to her husband. They were going out. He saw certain signs that were complicated in her, but now it's like totally out, and she's having a terrible regression back to the past. And 5 kids. Now what? She can't be a mother, she can't be a wife. And he's stuck with a bunch of kids. Can't go to work. He can't afford to take care of the kids, but if he doesn't go to work, how's he going to pay for the help? He has to go to work, so he doesn't. Parents don't have any money. So now what? So what are we going to do? The wife needs to be in a rehab place someplace out in Arizona somewhere for at least 6 months, it looks like. At least 6 months, maybe she'll have a yeshua. So now what? So they weren't standing under the chuppah. He didn't have the Shabbos table, what it's going to look like, his mirrors with his wonderful wife, his beautiful wife, being happy. And that's a bracha and a keli. She's in a million pieces. She's in the hospital. So that's very, very extreme. It's a terrible tragedy. But there's, generally, that's how life is, that there's a gap, not chalila, but there are gaps, sometimes big, sometimes small. But there are spaces in between. It's interesting because Kisisa comes between Truma Tetzaveh and Ve'akel Pekuda. There's like a break in between. So what's interesting is this. In Parashas Pekudei is in the word Pikodon Rashi. It's also the word, you know, Tafkid. What does it mean in Lashon Kodesh, the word Tafkid? What does it mean, Tafkid? A job, a purpose. Sorry. Tafkid. Responsibility, job, purpose. That's what we're talking about. Lamaisa, the Lamaisa, Tafkid. Pikudim. Eila Pekudei. 19 times in Parshas Pekudei, when it's talking about when they actually put the Mishkan, put it together. Not the theory, that wasn't true at the time, but it's actually being built. 19 times, why that number, we're not going to go into Dafka, why that number, but it says, Kashet Siva Hashem Es Moshe. Kashet Siva Hashem Es Moshe. 19 times. And the Sfarim talk about this. Why does it have to say every single time, Kashet Siva Hashem Es Moshe? Kashet Siva Hashem Es Moshe. As Hashem commanded Moshe Rabbeinu. So here we go away a little bit from the Lubavitcher Rebbe into the world of the Brisker Rav, Zecher Tzadik Kodesh Livracha. And the Brisker Rav talks about the Gemara, found in a number of places, but the Gemara is a sugya of Efshel Etzamtzem, E Efshel Etzamtzem. Have an Eruv and an Esuka. The general issue in the Gemara is, in these Gemaras, is that when we're told to do two things, let's say, and that they have to be exactly the same, the question that Chazal have is that really possible for a human being to be mitzamtzem in such a way? It should be exactly the same. But the Gemara in the sugya is mechza mechza, and in yonim of the questions of Paritz Kaimed and Erivin, and but when two things have to be identical, exactly identical, especially was talking about a time when they didn't have any scientific way to, is it possible to be with some sim that it should be exactly? Or the exact same time, the exact moment? Could it be mamish, the exact moment? So the conclusion is that Iyev Shalat Samsem, certainly by Melech Samishka, Iyev Shalat Samsem, and it means, as the Biskov explains, and this is what we're learning from Lubavitcher Rebbe, that human beings are imperfect, and things in this world are not bidiyuk. Bidiyuk, mamish. And therefore, if the Torah says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us in Trumat Tetzava, I want you to build a Mishkan, and everything has to be exactly like this, in the plan, in the artist's rendition. So the question is, when it comes out, if it comes out to be a millimeter less, let's say you could look under the microscope and see, that it's not, it's a millimeter more or less, then, as the Biskov says, that since Iyev Shalat Samsa, the conclusion of the Chachamim is that Iyev Shalat Samsa, we try our best, but we can't get it exactly. It's very, very unlikely and unusual to get it exactly right. But the Biskov says, nevertheless, the Torah repeats over and over and over again, Kashet Siva Hashem Es Moshe. You shouldn't think that just because what? You're human and you're imperfect. And it came out not exactly the way that it is in the Mishkan Shalmala. It didn't come out exactly the way that you planned. So you could feel very, very brokenhearted and depressed that what I'm doing is not Kashet Siva Hashem Es Moshe. Therefore, the Biskov says, the Torah goes out of its way to say over and over again, you do the best you can. Human being is imperfect. And you should know that if you try your best and you do what you can, only God knows that and you know that, and we don't always know it, but we try our best. So then the Baruch Shalom considers it Kashyat Siva Hashem as Moshe. You follow? It's Kashyat is not Chesed Shavat, it's in the Biskarov. It's considered Kashyat Siva Hashem as Moshe. Aye, it's not Lefi Mitzvah Satayra, because you look under the microscope and you see that it's not exactly. So the whole sugi of Efshel Tzampsem, and the Minchas Chinuch talks about this, is that Torah lo nitna l'malachei asharis. The Torah was not given to angels. The Torah was given to human beings. And therefore, as is explained there in the Minchas Chinuch of Kuftes and in many other places, that since the Torah was not given to angels, it was given to human beings, Efshel Tzampsem, and all the shiurim of the Torah were given in such a way, l'fi the seichel of a person. L'fi the seichel of a person. You know, you have now became, the last 30, 40, 50 years, I started to see this when I was still in high school. And I got caught up in it a little bit until I saw that look on my father's face. They have people that they have in their tefillin bags. I'm not criticizing you, and if you like to do this, so then do it. They put little mirrors in their tefillin bags to make sure to see with the tefillin, right? They even make it now like a nice little fancy special little thing. So instead of just taking a piece of glass, you could, for a quarter, so you can get something for $10, right? It's a special super duper tefillin checker. So that was like became popular in the late 60s. Guys started to use those tefillin checkers. So I was in shul so I got one. There was a guy in the yeshiva that was selling them. I bought one. And that Sunday morning, I was in shul with my father. And I was, my father already put on his tefillin, and I put on my tefillin, I put on my shalrosh, and I take out the mirror. I was excited, it flips up, you know, a little. And I'm looking at this thing, and I turn around and I see my father's gone. What are you doing? I said, shalrosh. I said, let's get rid of that thing, a mirror, opening a mirror up in shul. What's the matter with you? You put the tefillin on, you feel like we've been doing it for the last thousands of years, just try to get a sense of where it is and getting. Gemara says there's room on the head for two pairs of tefillin. You know that. Later on, many years later, I saw this. Satmar Rav made fun of this. He wrote about it. He saw somebody with a mirror in shul. And Satmar Rav says, there's such a thing. We had mirrors. In the middle, they also had mirrors. But never, ever did anybody see in Europe that a Jew should have a little mirror to look at his tefillin. In the meantime, it's become more interesting because then you have guys that they have the mirror and they take it out like five times during davening. That's usually a little bit OCD. But then they also start looking a little bit, you know. They see how they look in the mirror. The chlal to take out a mirror during davening. Baruch Shalom said, Torah lo nitna l'malachei asharis, you put your tefillin on your head. Don't wear it like this, don't wear it like that. And don't wear it like this. You go like this a little bit and you feel it, so that's enough. Or we used to go like this a little bit. Even that, by the time your fingers get there, it could be ready over here. You just try to get a sense of where it is. You know, the Baruch Shalom didn't say you have to walk around with mirrors. Never said such a thing. And it was never done until recently. We became bigger chacham than the Chassam Sofer. They had mirrors in the days of Chassam Sofer. How come the Chassam Sofer didn't have a mirror? He didn't have a little thing to look at his tefillin. Put on his tefillin. He yifshel at Samsa. Kashyat Siva Hashem is Moshe. The Baruch Shalom didn't say you have to walk around with microscopes. You know, I don't know anything about precious stones, precious gems, but there are diamonds that cost more and there are diamonds that cost less. It's l'fi the perfection of the stone, right? So the jewelers, they look at it, they know how to look at a stone. And they look at it carefully. You and I wouldn't know how to look at it. What makes one better than worse? You know? You can see only if it's in general, but they know how to see very carefully. But even then, even if you take a stone, that the jeweler, the most chashuv jeweler says, this is the most perfect gem you ever saw, if you put it under the microscope, not just a little magnifying glass, if you put it under a microscope, you'll see all kinds of nicks. And you don't see it when you look with the eye or you look with a little magnifying glass. But if you look under the microscope, you'll find imperfections. You'll find that with other people too if you look under the microscope. The pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu already said, and it says, Shlomo HaMelech says, Ein tzadik eshe yaseh tov le'echta. Ein tzadik eshe yaseh tov le'echta. Maybe some of you had the misfortune of being raised in homes where you had parents or a parent that was looking at you under a microscope. the parents that have the that are in the habit of doing that are usually the ones that were looked under a microscope themselves. That their parents were looking at them under a microscope. But the MS is ain't tzaddik sheyasa tov le'yachta. And that means that there's a mishkan shalmalo and there's a mishkan shalmata. There's a Moshe Shalmala above, and there's a Moshe Shalmata. Our job is to work as hard as we can to try to see to it that we align the Mishkan Lamala and the Mishkan Lamata. But at best, Eiv Shel Tzamtzum, the Torah wasn't given to angels, and we have to daven all the time that at least it should be Be'erach. It should be Be'erach, and it should be in the parish of the artist's rendition. That how the Vayakal Pekudah comes out, Lemaisa, should be somewhat aligned. So other Baruch will do it in such a way. And he made Parashiyas, Tumat Tzava, break Vayakal Pekudah. Because sof kol sof, the tachlis of the Torah, the tachlis of creation, is that Hashem Yisbarach took us from a place that's lichtig, that's light, that the beautiful, that's clear, where everything is a machaya, where everything is perfect, in the Mishkan Shamala. But he threw us into a place where it's very, very dark. It's very, very dark. He threw us into a world where it's Eiv Shel Tzamtzum, where a human being can't get it right, the way that it is there. Big tzaddik can get it very, you know, close, I don't know, but the regular people, we're just trying that it should be Be'erach, what it shows like in the picture, the artist's rendition. Try to get a be'erach should be like that. You know, you ever read stories? I don't know if kids still do that about Chachmei Chelm. You heard of that? The wise men of Chelm. You never heard of it? So there was a city in Poland that had a city with big Talmid Chacham and great many great yeshiva, you know, yeshivas and shuls. But there was a writer, a Yiddish writer, who came from Chelm, and he created a whole literature making fun of Chelm, of the Jews from Chelm. It was just fiction. And he made all kinds of funny stories about Chelm, that they're very foolish. And all that. A lot of stories of Michachmei Chelm. So that was a very popular thing when we were kids. We had these books on Chachmei Chelm. And just growing up, we heard from our parents stories of Chelm. One of the things they say about one of the big vikuchim, one of the biggest debates that was going on in Chelm was what's more choshev, the sun or the moon? What's more powerful, the sun or the moon? This looks like it sounds like a silly shayla, right? What's more powerful? And the whole day long they're arguing in the Besmedrish in Chelm, what's more powerful, what's more choshev, the sun or the moon? Until finally, the Rav Paskind, the Rav of Chelm Paskin, it's not a shayla that the moon is more powerful than the sun. And how did he explain the psak? He said the following. The moon is so strong that it's able to bring light even when it's dark outside. But the sun that shines during the day is not a chachma, so it's very light. It's all light anyway, so what's the big chachma that the sun makes a little bit light? And that's the thing. But you hear the vart is, it's taka, there's some truth to that. This world is a world of darkness. And the Baruch Shalom put Am Yisrael into this place, Atam Eidai, to tell the story, Am Zuyitzati, Tilosi Saperi, to be Jews, and to talk about, in this world there's a Mishkan Shalmal, there's something high. Higher than this world. That means to light up a dark place is taka a bigger chachma than to light up a place that's already lit up. Some of you come from backgrounds that might be darker than others. And the Baruch Shalom knows that. And for you it's harder to light up such a life that you're trying to make for yourselves. Some of you come from homes where it's already brighter. It's not such a big chachma. The tachlis is kashet siva Hashem es maisha, to try our hardest to make those two. You know, there were two tzaddikim that they were mamish best friends with each other. And we only have a few stories of their interactions, but each story that we have like that is Maridik, it's Gevaldik. the Kotzke and Rebbe Yitzchak Dvorka. The Kotzke you all heard of, Nachan? Rebbe Yitzchak Dvorka you heard of? Rebbe Yitzchak Dvorka. The Kotzke, you know, was a fire. Emes, fire. Rebbe Yitzchak Dvorka was the sweetest and gentlest. Now, they both came from the same Beis Medrash, and they were both, everything was Emes, Emes, Pshischa, Emes, the truth. The Kotzke was so demanding of truth that when he detected anything that smelled of any sheker, he would scream, he threw it out. The Kotzke's love of the truth was as great, I'm sorry, Rebbe Yitzchak Dvorka's love of the truth was as great as the Kotzke's. But they say that it was so great that any time he saw a little bit of truth, he mamish loved it. Even the slightest, tiniest little bit of truth, he said, I'll take it. You hear the difference? The Kotzke, the light of the sun. Rebbe Yitzchak Dvorka was, we're living in a world that's not perfect, it's dark. And if there's a little bit of light in it, you follow? There's a little bit of truth in this world of darkness. A little bit of truth. I'll give an example, and then Rebbe said maybe we wanted to ask something. One of the darkest places in the world, Lubavitcher Rebbe said, when he described the United Nations, he said to this to Netanyahu years ago, when Netanyahu was the ambassador from Eretz Yisrael in the United Nations, the Rebbe told him, you know what, it is a very, very dark place, and if you light a candle there, it's a big thing. That's what Lubavitcher Rebbe told Netanyahu many years ago when Netanyahu was working in the United Nations. It's one of the darkest places in the world is the United Nations. I don't have to explain that. Everybody knows that, right? Mamish. Sheker, sheker. The rest of the world is now with the sheker, but the United Nations is like world headquarters of sheker. It's unbelievable. And I'm with the sheker. And now, for the past couple of, for this past kufa, there's this lady that just sits there for America in the United Nations. You know her name?
Nikki Haley,
right? She sits there in the United Nations, and she's saying things that are true. It's hard to... You hear any of her diburim?
Yeah.
It's mom is crazy. She says diburim of truth in a place of sheker. She doesn't seem to care. One of my kids was showing me a video of it. Behind her, they're sitting, and they don't want to even look at her. They're like babies. They're on their phones, and they're right. They don't want to look at her. And she's saying. She's saying the truth. Now, I don't know her. I would vote for her for president in a second. The last lady that was running for president was sheker, sheker, sheker. This lady, I don't care if it's a guy or a woman. She says the truth. Is it the whole truth and nothing but the truth? No, she's not a Jew. She doesn't know the whole truth, but she's a fine person, and she wants to say the truth. And let's see her, Madrega, Eev Shalat Samson, she's trying to say the truth, and she's trying to be honest. The rest of the world is lying. Everybody else in that building is filled with sheker. And this lady gets up there, she's a little girl, and she says the truth. And they're all going nuts about this. The whole world, they hate her. Last time when she spoke, Abbas had to run out of the room to go to the bathroom, to Russia. She just says the truth. And that's how she was talking about with Yerushalayim, right? She didn't say any long explanation. She just said, and that's what the Michigan president said too. Said, she's a normal person. He's crazy, but you need a Michigan that comes out like that. When you meet a lunatic, they say things that are true. It mixed them with crazy things, but it comes true because they don't care what people think. But all she said was, America just said the truth, and it's not changed. The truth is that Jerusalem is the capital of the Jewish people. That's the truth. So, Gemara, Sof HaSipur. Sof HaSipur. You want to make all kinds of ma'aselecha about what the Arabs are doing in Israel? She just said, this is the truth. Why don't you just move on with things? Because we're not changing that, she said. It's not changing, because it's the truth. And I was talking to my father about this. My father can't get over this. He said to me, did you hear what that girl said? I said, I said, yeah. My father said, can you believe it that there's a... Well, my father said that there's a goita talking like that in the United Nations. Some non-Jewish lady in the United Nations is saying the truth. So even though it's not the whole picture, she's not standing over there saying over Gemara Rashi Tosfos, you understand? She's not saying over the Ramchal and the Maharal. She's saying, but what she's saying is something of the truth. She's saying, we'll take it. Mechai. Kashitziv Hashem is Moshe. You following? Kashitziv Hashem. Because the Yevshul Atzam said, we take the truth, whatever we can get from the truth is a gewaldik. You take it. Because the world is such a crazy place of darkness. If you hear a little bit of truth, it's a Mechai. And that's what Rabbi Nachman meant when he said, Yidden abyssalos euch gut. How do you translate that? Abyssalos euch gut? A little bit is also good. Don't make yourselves crazy. Try your best. A little bit is abyssalos euch gut. A little bit is also good. Kashisiv Hashem is Moshe. A little bit is also good. See, you didn't make the bracha, every bracha today. Abyssalos euch gut. It's not saying you shouldn't make your brachas properly. Rabbi Nachman didn't. Abyssalos euch gut. You try, you can. Yeah, sometimes it doesn't work out like the Mishkan Somala. It's still called Kashet Siv Hashem is Moshe. We're still Jews. It's still Kashet Siv Hashem is Moshe. I once told in public, my wife was horrified that I did this. I mean, told in public, it wasn't just in public. I was talking, Rabbi Krohn and I were talking in Borough Park. I said, this goes back like 20 years ago. There were like 4,000 women at Ashiya in Borough Park in this huge hall. And my wife couldn't believe that I told this Maisa from the family. But I thought it was going to teach a lesson. But it was it's a true story that when we were in the bungalow at that time, remember? And my youngest, so she had this thing. She would get up from bed and she had to run to the bathroom, and she would run to the bathroom, and then she would wash Neglavasa afterwards. And I would always sit down and talk to her and say, a Jew gets up in the morning, the first thing you do is you wash. I prepared for a Neglavasa. You wash Neglavasa, and then you go to the bathroom. I said, that's how a Jew lives. She was like, with kids, when they have to go to the bathroom, they don't. Yep. So, but I said, no, you have to wash Neglavasa. So one morning, I was sitting and learning on the porch, and she, and the same thing happened. The truth is, I really didn't notice, but she ran straight from her room to the bathroom, because the bathroom wasn't in the room. So she ran to the bathroom, and she went to the bathroom first, and then she went back to wash Neglavasa. That's what she did later. But I was passing by, she was still sitting in the bathroom. You know, she's little, the door was open. And I looked in, I saw her, hey, Shiffy. And she looked at me, she felt like I was, like the warden in the court, you know. And she didn't wash Neglavasa. And she looked up at me, and she said, but I'm still a Jew. But I'm still a Jew. I said to her, it's okay, Shiffy, you're still a Jew. We don't look up to the bunch from the toilets we're sitting on. But we're still Jews. Kashitziv Hashem is Moshe. Kashitziv Hashem is Moshe. We're still Jews. Abyssalos euch gut, the Baruch Hashem knows we're trying to get close to the artist's rendition. It's hard. Abyssalos euch gut. Not to make ourselves crazy. The Baruch Hashem wants Jews who are happy. We're trying hard, and they're happy. If they botch up, they try again. Gandhi. That's the end of the story. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't put the Mishkan up right away. You know that. Back and forth, until the Yibam Yishmini. Sheva Yipol Tzadik would come. The whole week he couldn't put it didn't work. Everything was supposed to work. It didn't work. It didn't go up. It didn't work. The Baruch Hashem, when he made this world, was after worlds that didn't work. Not that Hashem can't make perfection, but Hashem wanted to tell us. Doesn't always work. It's still called Kashet Siv Hashem Esmoishi. You try. Hashem Esmoishi should help us to try. That we have to do. To work at it, to try, that's our job. To try hard. No, there are things you wanted somebody to have something to ask.
Wait, I asked that because it's post-